about every 60 leads, I'm getting an opportunity. And that's just from having you guys do two mailings and have the ISA make one call. So imagine if I worked this.
Yeah. Welcome, resourceful agents and investors from across the country. Today is Thursday, August 27th, 2020, and this is Mastermind Call number 293. We do have three people in the queue. We got plenty of room for more. Just hit star six and hit one, and let's go to our first caller.
Hey, guys. Great to be back. So my main question, I actually had three, but I was on a call earlier with Bruce, and he answered two of them without even realizing. But my first one, and I'll use this, is what's the best approach to reaching a family when the executor / executrix has passed away as well?
Yep.
Yeah, I ran into this situation a few days ago, and I spoke to a stepson, I believe, and the executrix actually passed away 2 months right after the descendant did.
You basically just need to find out who's in charge of that person's estate and talk to them. They're probably going to know the most because when the executrix passed away, they probably started like, what are we supposed to do? And at some point, they have probably talked to the probate attorney or the probate clerk, and that attorney or clerk can tell you who's in next in the line of succession that would be handling the original estate, and then who's handling her estate. But just talk to anyone that you can get a hold of and grab details. You could call the probate attorney if you have the information on the original probate. Call that attorney and say, listen, I spoke to the son. It's apparent that he needs help, but I just want to make sure I'm working with you as a team member. I don't want to be in the way. How can I help you guys? And see what you can learn from the attorney. They're probably they have the most up-to-date information on the situation.
Gotcha. Okay, because I don't want to, that's a callback I want to make, but definitely, that's a very, more so sensitive area if they both passed away, and just want to know, the best approach I can take to that.
I would focus on the attorney, man. Just call and say, listen, I talked to Jane Doe's son. I was actually calling to reach her, but the family seems a little overwhelmed. Rather than me asking them these questions, do you have just a couple minutes? And that gives you an opportunity to say, whoever has to step up, just know that we've got their back. Like, we have a team of people here that can help them through just about anything that they could be encountering. So if you could, please pass our information on to whomever's going to take her spot. And then potentially whoever that is might be probating both estates.
All right. That's really good then. So you get in contact with the attorney. Okay. Thanks guys. I mean, that was a really good answer.
Perfect. And glad you got your other two questions answered by Bruce. He's very helpful when you have questions. Don't feel free to, feel free. You don't have to wait for the mastermind call. Reach out to any of us as you did. So phone number ending in 8762. You're up next.
Hey there, guys. It's Christine Sennett in Northern Virginia. Happy to help anybody on the phone that needs probate support here. First of all, I just wanted to say, love your system, Chad. You guys do such a great job with this. Very informative. I'm trying to do everything you say, although I haven't quite mastered that yet. About every 60 leads, I'm getting an opportunity. And that's just from having you guys do two mailings and have the ISA make one call. So imagine if I worked this.
yeah. Wow.
So I am starting to. One of the suggestions you made was partnering up with attorneys to build relationship, and one way to do that was to get them to go through the probate process with you. I know every other call you get the same question, so I'm going to ask it because I can't find it anywhere. I know every state is different. And you'd mentioned a checklist that we got during mastery, but I can't find it. I just don't want to walk in there looking like a total idiot. Is there something you have that has an outline? I mean, I've read our local probate process, but didn't know if you had, you mentioned something in Mastery that you give out.
Yeah, we don't. So in Mastery, in session one, we kind of go through the general process of probate. And that timeline is different state to state, but mainly like the important parts of it, very broad stroke. With the attorney, the opportunity there is to sit down and say, you know, listen, I've gotten a good understanding of the generalities of probate, but I really want to bring that into Northern Virginia or into Fairfax County. And I'm just looking for, you know, about 50%. Last time I looked anyways, about 50% of the people in your market don't use attorneys. In my market, 100% don't. But you guys are trending where it's becoming more and more common.
Yeah, it's like 20% use it. But yeah.
Okay, yeah, so that's even stronger. So 80% of people don't have representation, and the attorney is not allowed to directly solicit them for the service, right?
Right.
So you, like 80% of the leads that you get, you can show them how to market for free to those people. So the ask is, you know, listen, we only 20% of people have proper representation going through this, and we're reaching out to help them with the non-legal aspects, but we really need the right legal person on our team that, so when somebody does need an attorney, we can help them. And what I'd like to offer is, if you'll sit down with me and co-design a checklist or a timeline, I'll make sure that's part of every marketing piece we send. So the 80% that don't have representation, when they get stuck, the checklist they're working off of will have your firm's name on it. Have you got 30 minutes to walk through that with me?
That's exactly what I did, because I've been listening to you. And I got the appointment. I have one with him next week. He was like, oh, this is really interesting. But I was just saying, like, didn't want to walk in there completely feeling like I don't know what I'm doing.
It's a common thing. Like, I'm going to ask you to work on your mindset. That person is a business owner, and he saw you as an opportunity. That's why you have the appointment, right? So he wakes up unemployed every morning. He has to go find new clients, and he has the same issues we have in operating and scaling our business. He's just a person. Then don't let the fact that he's an attorney intimidate you, because it's unlikely you'll ever be an attorney and have a higher skill set than him in the field of law. But it's also just as probably even more unlikely that he'll have the service skill set that you have or the real estate skill set. So there's no need to feel intimidated or embarrassed because you don't have the knowledge. You know what you know. He knows what he knows. When you put that together, sure, it's way more powerful. So just don't put yourself at a mindset disadvantage just because you're not an attorney. Just remember, this guy's unemployed every morning just like we are. How can you help him grow his firm? And that's really all you have to focus on. And he wants the appointment. Okay. That's why you got it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it was so easy. I think I need to recall more attorneys.
Exactly. Yeah. And quite honestly, I mean, the more organic that is, the more natural the conversation, the better the result will be for you. So don't over plan and feel like you have to have an agenda. Just say, you know, listen, I have a way that I can help you grow your firm, and we can both take better care of the community we live and work in. And I just need 30 minutes of your time, and I'll market for you every month. And
okay.
He's going to see a ton of value in it.
Gotcha. Okay. Thank you.
I was going to add to that too, Christine. I hate to generalize, but attorneys are not generally known for having small egos. So, you know, stoke his ego a little bit. Say, you know, hey, you're really well known as a probate expert in this area. You know, can you give me some tips on what I should know to better help my clients? Because you're, like Chad said, he will recognize you as a real estate authority, and you're not trying to be an attorney. So go in there. As a matter of fact, Chad, I think you and Bruce are working on a checklist of questions to ask both the executors and the attorneys. So just write down maybe a few things you don't know about. You're laughing, Chad. Go ahead.
Well, Bruce and I are really good at finding rabbit holes. We've spent like 3 hours on that already this week.
Okay, good. Well, 3 hours, you probably have 3 questions at least. But yeah, don't be afraid to go in there and acknowledge that there's a lot about the legal aspects you don't know, and defer to him and his ego, and let him, you know, let him be that authority. So you'll do well, though. It sounds like you're doing very well already. Hey, the good news is you're relatively new and you're taking massive action, and that's the first key. You know, you learn as you go. So good job.
But it helps if you do what you're told to. I'm learning that lesson.
Absolutely. All right. Well, thank you for sharing, Christine. Appreciate it. And next up is phone number ending in 5464. You're next.
I was wondering if you had tips on how to get people to, I've had a few people just like be a time suck, just kind of like droning on about like their situation or talking about their mom dying or whatever, and trying to be sympathetic and empathetic and understand what they're going through, but at the same time, like, I don't get too many calls if somebody takes, in, you know, 30 minutes of my time or whatever. So a way to kind of guide them down that.
So it's your fault, not theirs.
I get that.
as a leader in the conversation. So what is your objective each time you pick up the phone to make one of these calls?
To set up an appointment.
To get face-to-face, right? So
yep.
in their venting on you, which is a really good thing, that means they trust you, you're doing a really good job. So that's a good sign. Bruce and I were, yesterday when we were working on the list of questions and stuff, I told him a story. Van, one of the first guys I trained to do this, he had a 4.5-hour listing appointment one time. Because he let them, he felt the way you feel, and he didn't know how to end it. But just stay clear on your objective. My objective is to get face to face with this person, and through the information they're giving you, find that chink in the armor that gives you an excuse to get there. Usually good questions. So if you're getting off track and they're going, you know, down a rabbit hole, you can almost always bring it back with a good question. Well, you know, Frank, listen, I've got just 15 more minutes, and I really want to make sure that I understand your situation and we can find the time to meet and talk more about it. But let me ask you this. The biggest challenge I see most people struggle with is real estate, because you've got the personal property and the real property. You have maintenance issues, liability issues. Is there any real estate in the estate? And let's just start there. There's a lot of stuff that we're going to talk about over the time, but let's start with the toughest thing. And just that's just one example, but bring it back with a question and focus on one aspect of the conversation to bring them back. And it's not that difficult to do. Some of these people are lonely, you know, they just lost their spouse, and if you let them, they'll talk to you for hours. They love, you know, because they trust you. But it's usually just a good question to you know, focus on a certain part of the conversation. So if you haven't spoken about real estate, you could use that and say that, you know, the biggest challenge, the thing that you know, causes the biggest problems for most people is real estate. Focus on that. It could be, you know, posting the no trespassing sign so that the asset's secured. You could focus, you know, do that. But the whole point is just get the appointment, get face to face, and then, you know, be ready when you show up on the appointment, because you could be there all afternoon if you don't stay focused there too.
Okay.
That was a bit of a rambling answer. Bruce, I'd like to hear your advice on this too.
All right. I think, I've been there before. I've been on the 5-hour appointment, and, if you let it get too out of control, your entire relationship is going to be out of control. So you need to take that chink in the armor, like Chad mentioned, and just say, hey, you know, I really could talk to you forever. This is really valuable. But, you know, I think that we should probably just go ahead and meet over at the house.
Hey, Bruce, if you can hear us, I think you're Bluetooth disconnected.
No, I can hear you just fine. Hold on.
Okay, you're back.
I'm back. Okay. So so you want to take that chink in the armor and just immediately dive into a proposal and say, you know, I'd like to propose something because I feel like there's a lot of value here. Let's go ahead and meet this week because this conversation is so good. I find it valuable. So you're kind of really stoking the feelings that they have of benefit and talking with you, you're just moving it over to the house. that you've got to recognize when that opening happens and go ahead and just be assertive with it. Take control and be a leader. I know that's kind of a generic answer, but honestly, it's easy to let someone dominate the entire relationship if you don't take control, and they appreciate that. They don't have a problem with it.
And, you know, Bruce, if it's going on long, that opening could just be when they take a breath, you know, when you get, rather than interrupt them, as soon as they take a breath, just jump in. This seems like another good place for you and Chad's good questions. You know, any question that'll interrupt their rambling, you know, is probably a good one, just to get them back on focus, back on track. And I like that. If it's going to be a long conversation, at least try to take it live, take it into the meeting rather than on the phone. That's good.
Another thing that I've done, especially with people that I know take a while, is I'll go ahead and set the parameters at the outset of the phone call. Now, if it's the first time you've spoken with them, you probably can't say, hey, I only have 5 minutes and I've got to get on another call. But if I know that someone has a propensity to kind of dominate the conversation, I'll say, hey, you know, I had about a 15-minute window, or maybe when you go on the appointment, if you can set the appointment quicker. You go on that appointment and you say, I've got an appointment here in about an hour and a half that I have to leave for. Just set the tone so that they feel like they have adequate time, but they also are now conscientious about your schedule as well.
Yeah. There was a great motivational coach called Roger Dawson years ago, and I've used his one-liner and this applies to probate or any of your business dealings. When you see that phone call, the caller ID, and you know it's somebody that can talk forever, just answer real quick and say, hey, Bob, you know, I'm just getting ready to jump on a conference call. Is it a real quick question, or can I call you back later? You know, that's kind of what you said. It kind of forces them to get to the point, you know, and so if it is a subsequent conversation, you know you're long-winded, you know, that works very well. And you were going to add something, Chad?
Well, I have something else now. After you know the person for 15 years, it's not as effective, is it, Jim?
What's that now?
I said after you've known the person for 15 years and you still do that to them, it's not as effective.
Yeah, you got to use it. Yeah, it's good once anyway, but yes, that is true. Why, do I do that to you, Chad, occasionally?
Yes, you do.
Darn, I just gave away my technique. Go ahead. Sorry.
What I meant to say was, I'm really busy again. I'm really sorry. It seems like every time I talk to you, I'm just
Damn, I got to come up with a new technique.
If it's an outbound call, you can always say, hey, I'm calling with my real estate hat on. If it's an inbound call, you can use Jim's technique, and instead of saying if it's not really quick, I can talk later, you might want to say, if it's going to take more than 2 minutes, I have 20 minutes in 2 hours. So name the actual amount of time that you have later as well.
Perfect. Yep.
Well, that's very helpful. Are you going to post the list of questions you guys are working on?
Yeah, around 2023-24, we should be finished with it.
Okay, sounds good.
Yeah, we're working. So as with most things that Bruce and I dug into it, and we're like, but wait, what if we did it this way versus that way? And we should have it done. Like, we're going to spend some more time on it tomorrow and should have it finished. But yes, we'll post that. We'll update the in the subscriber portal under Fast Track video number 3, where the probate seller interview sheet is. We'll update it there, and also in the Facebook group and the files. We'll drop it to you guys.
Okay. I just wanted to give you a feedback on a deal, Chad, you helped me with the other day. It was the offer I made. I gave him a purchase now, a lease op, or an owner finance, or fix it up and sell it on the market. And I wasn't talking with the all of the decision makers at the same time, and they ended up going with somebody else. So lesson learned the hard way. So lost the deal, but learned a lesson. So hopefully I don't make that same mistake again. But
do you know what option they chose with the other person?
They just chose somebody that would give them a cash number higher.
Okay, so they went with the cash offer, though.
Yeah. So, and they were the ones that were not telling me how much the Medicaid lien was on the house.
Right.
And you told me that I needed to find that out before I go on the appointment, to know what I'm dealing with, or to get that out in the air first.
Well, we can't get them all, man. Sometimes there's people who will just overpay for stuff. And I mean, you did your research and you knew what your number was where you could make money. So can't get them all.
Yep. Well, I appreciate all of you guys.
All right. Thank you, sir. Next up is David Pinnell. Welcome back. Phone number 0692. How you doing, sir?
Good, man. I'm trying to do is just go ahead and pay an hour of their bill, whatever they charge.
For the attorney?
Whatever they're charging per hour for their time.
Yeah.
So if it's $250 an hour or $300, it's usually an attorney that I'm working with already through another case.
Yeah.
So this is an idea. I'm just giving an idea for anybody out there that, not that your money back.
Have you done it yet? Have you done one yet, David?
I'm currently doing it right now. That's what gave me the idea.
Okay.
We had a guy probably 3-4 years ago that did that in California, and I think he did it a couple of times. And what he looked at an attorney who was doing multiple deals every month, like 5, 6, 7 deals a month. He couldn't get the time of day, and he called the office and said, I'd like to schedule an appointment for a consultation. Well, what it's about? It's a personal matter. You know, here's my credit card, and he got in there. He said the attorney was absolutely blown away. He said in 30 years in his career, he'd never had anybody pay for pitching him something, and they ended up establishing a good relationship. So it's a great idea. Yeah. Thanks for reminding us of that. We haven't talked about it in years, I don't think. Very good idea.
And since I'm in Texas, I had a buddy that he sold telephones. He went and bought a lot of boots from thrift stores, and then he would stuff the boot all kind of goodies and leave it at the office if he couldn't get a hold of them and say, I'm just trying to get a foot in the door, a letter in the boot.
Good.
You got to get their name, like Chad said, you got to get on their radar. And I've got five or six people, like I said in the video now, that we've completed tough probates with. I mean, tough. And they're on my radar, I'm on theirs, and they respect us now. But then as you build that network, but you don't need a whole lot, man. You really don't. So I just want to put my 2 cents on that.
No, I think that's great. And if you qualify the client, you're not going to do it on everyone, obviously, but how can they not respect you? And, you know, if you do one deal with them, it's a great return on your investment. And just the fact that you're willing to – you value their time, and it really makes you look like a professional. I love the idea. Please go. If anybody can make it work, it would be you, David, again. go out and do it and report back to us, please.
Hey, when these things are worth $11,000 on an average, get your butt out there and do it. God,
Sure.
Geez. Get out there and do it.
You better believe you're going to make the most of that presentation, too, if it's costing you.
Man, I always wanted to be a luxury agent, and I was always wanted to sell the fancy houses. But I can make a luxury commission on a $150,000 property now. It's crazy.
Yep.
If anybody understands that in wholesaling.
Yeah, Chad, we only have one other person in the queue, and David is an extraordinary authority. Do you have any questions for him or do a little mini interview? In the meantime, anybody who wants to jump in the queue, just hit *6 and hit 1. And you'll be up next.
Well, I'll remind everybody, we talked about it last week on this call. David and I did an update to his case study that he did last July, and Kat posted and circulated that last night. So if you haven't watched it, take I think we went 45 minutes, and it was just chock full of the new things, like what David's doing differently from last year versus this year. And I don't know, we just had a great conversation. I think a lot of people can benefit from. So if you haven't found that, go to alltheleads.com under blog. I think Kat also put it out, and it's on YouTube and on our podcast and everything else. So if you haven't listened to that conversation, lots of really good nuggets of wisdom from David and kind of how this has evolved for him. even in during a pandemic with a newborn, he's been able to take some time off and really enjoy life and still have really high level of success. So.
Yeah, we got, it just goes back to that follow-up. If you don't use y'all CMR, use something to follow up with people. That's where it's taken me anywhere from 11 to 18 contacts. I'm not the one-hit wonder appointment guy. I've probably done that one time in the last 18 months, probably two times. But it's follow-up, man. The key is follow-up. Anybody on the call, it's follow-up, follow-up, follow-up. I got three set this week for Saturday, and I'm working on a fourth one. Oh, four probates in one freaking day. I'm bound to get one of them.
Four of them.
And, David, four today, I would say so. You probably get three out of four, yeah, at least. David, we touched a little bit last week on this, but what would you say on average, and I know it widely varies, but how many contacts do you make or attempts do you make, you know, before you turn it into an appointment and a deal on average?
It's going to be anywhere from, the average for just a buyer lead. It's the same contact rate. I mean, until they actually recognize your name and I could send them
right.
a book knowing that they have a house to sell, it's going to be 8 to 18 contacts. And it's going to be probate in Texas. It takes right now 4 months to get through. So it's not a rush to get to the appointment here. It's a rush to build the relationship here. It's a rush to get them to recognize my name and recognize the UST that I offer them. Because at first, they're very, very defensive, very defensive. And my mindset, still after doing this almost 2 years, 3 years, I still don't like making that first phone call or the third one because they don't know me yet. And it's so hard to get that UST out still. But when you do and you get past that, and if you watch the video, you'll know which ones to call if you're having a hard time with that mindset. Me and Chad went in deep on that. Pick that one that's out of state and focus on that and then build on the other one. Just after doing this about 18 months with y'all, I'm finally getting the ones that are the spouses and they're coming back around because I just put them on a drip of evaluation, a CMA evaluation. So...
Perfect.
It's going to become full circle.
Yep.
Hey, David, when you're making your first phone calls, are you leaving a message or are you not leaving a message?
No, I'm not leaving a message.
No?
No. That goes back to expired. I don't want them to call me back.
Good.
Yeah. I mean, third or fourth, I'll probably do it. Depends on how I feel, too. So, not
100%. 100% of the time,
David,
except when it's not true.
Because you don't know exactly if they're the executor yet, or it's more get a hold of them, and once I know they have a house that they're going to sell, or they give me the hint that they're going to sell it, and I send my mail to them, my packet, and then I have then they realize that I'm serious and that I'm a professional. So it plays into all that. So.
Well, I think that benefited a lot of our agents. I appreciate it, David. So many people will tell us, I tried them three or four times and I moved on to the next one. And it's one of the reasons what you're saying there proves out the theory that we always tell people every once in a while, go back and work your old leads because on day one, if you're in a competitive market, they're getting a lot of calls. 3-4 months later, nobody's calling them. The difference with you is you just keep calling them the whole time. You don't wait 3 or 4 months. It's an uninterrupted call pattern until you get results, and it's persistent.
Yeah.
So,
like I said on the video, I real quick, I bought 4,100 leads from you guys. And the good thing about y'all companies, you give people, I think you do it openly, but not for me where you gave me the back leads of 4 or 5 months when I paid. So it's like, that's where the gold is. Nobody's calling them past once or twice. And if you just get over that in your mind, man,
And so what if 80% of them? So what if 80% of them are sold? The 20% that are left are finally ready to do something. You got zero competition.
Yeah, and they're worth 11 grand. Get on the phone. Pick up that monkey.
Thank you. Thank you, Coach David. We appreciate you, man.
Sorry.
Anything else? All right, buddy. Appreciate you. Come back every week, man. We appreciate the wisdom you share with the group. Next up, we have three in the queue, and we do have room for more. Next up is phone number ending in 7777. That sounds like a lucky number.
Hi, David. Hi, Chad. This is Enzi. How are you?
Hey, Enzi. I'm good. How are you?
I have a question that I'm really struggling with it, and it's regarding the, you know, calling, importing the information to the power dialer that I have, and especially now that is the probate plus, we get with the, you know, property information, how many they have, and we want to have all those in front of us when we call them and we talk to them about different things. I know you guys have your, you know, inside agent that they make the phone calls. What kind of dialer you guys use that you get all the information in it?
We push the probate information, the people information, not the real estate information. But we can push that directly into Vulcan 7. So that's a dialer that's, you know, we have an interface with them. So the second your leads come in, they get automatically imported into your Vulcan 7 user account. It's not going to bring all the Probate Plus information in, though, because we're talking about hundreds and hundreds of additional data fields. And, you know, which dialer are you using? Are you using Mojo?
No, Reddit.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it's unlikely they're going to make the changes to fit in all of that information, but if they're willing to, we'd certainly talk with their development team about, you know, creating an API to push it to them.
So you mean
I think most people who are using dialers, we have people using, you know, KV Core, like as their CRM, but what a lot of people do, they'll open the Probate Plus and My Probate Leads on one screen and then have your dialer on the other screen, and you just keep track of it that way, because the reason our CRM is important, it's important to use, you know, to get the information back there, is because we're opting out. You know, we're making sure next month you don't call the ones that have that didn't have real estate or that already sold, and you don't send the mail. So either way, you're going to bring the information back to our CRM. I would ask you this. How many dials are you – because you're not in a really heavy lead count county. How many dials – you have, what, 35 leads a month?
Oh, sometimes, you know, up to 50 or something.
Yeah, I would say you don't need a dialer for your probate prospecting. Even hand dialing, we can hold a pace of about 12 per hour, including voicemails and conversations. So, I mean, I would encourage you to just focus on using the CRM that we give you and just hand dial, unless you feel like you need that dialer. With only 50 leads, you're not gaining a ton of efficiency.
Yeah, but you want to call the old one also, right? It's not just the 50 leads. Is calling, you know, your old one, your past one too, and dialing with hands is really taking time. So do you guys have no plan to have your own dialer, right, on the CRM in future?
We've
talked about that a couple times.
We have considered building it in. We were looking at integrating a dialer into it. Yeah, my perception is about probably 10% of our customers use a dialer like that. I mean, if it's something that we see a large enough need for, then we can build it in. But hey, it's not on the development plan right at this moment. We try to keep the CRM as simple as possible. But I would say, I mean, right now, you know, import the way you're doing it and then just have your Probate Plus info open in another window.
Right. Okay.
And
thank you.
If Red X's team wants to talk to us, you can, you know, have their support team or their development team call us, and we can discuss building an interface with them like we have with Vulcan.
Okay. All right. With Vulcan, you guys don't import the profit information, right? The one that we have on Probate Plus.
Right. So far, we haven't updated that where it's pushing all the real estate info.
Okay. All right. Great. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. We have three more in the queue. His phone number ending in 4663. You're up next.
Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes. Thank you.
I think that was David Pinnell on a few minutes ago. And one thing that he mentioned was it sounds like he does not leave a voicemail. However, I remember from last week that he made a big point about his name recognition was quite high with the callers on, you know, many subsequent follow-up calls. Did I hear him correctly? He does not leave a voicemail and relies on his mailing pieces only for that kind of name recognition?
I think he said about the third or fourth call he'll start leaving a voicemail, but not on the first few. I believe that's what I heard. Is that correct, Chad?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Any question about that or just
no
concern?
Just trying to reconcile what I heard last week and this week. Thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. There's no wrong way to do it. It's just, you know, it's just efficiency. If you're a prospecting machine like he is, just the time required to leave that voicemail, you know, it may not be, the return may not be there for him. But, all right. Oh, David's jumping back on. He has a comment. All right. David, we'll get with you in just a second. Well, let me go to you next. David, go ahead.
Look, it's not, if you're going to be analytical about the phone calls, don't be. It's not perfect. I'm not perfect. I'm just making the call all the time. And I've got it down to where I purposely make the calls on Wednesdays or Thursdays because I have the task set for that now. It's just like Chad said, he likes doing admin work from Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. I do too. I've worked that into my daily schedule. So don't, if you're going to be analytical about probate, don't be, because it's not perfect.
Yeah.
And they're up. Yeah. I don't like calling on Mondays ever with anybody because they always have bad attitude. Nobody likes to be called on Monday. I don't know what it is about Americans. So
sure.
I'm going to take Monday off typically. Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, I get a hold of a lot more people. Friday, you know, it's like 2 hours maybe. I'll try the ones I couldn't get a hold of. It's just not perfect. Make the call. Leave voicemails. Don't leave voicemails. It's just find out if they have a house to sell, and you're golden.
Yeah.
And stay in touch with the one to do.
Sure. It's a minor issue, but to answer his question, is there a reason that you decided to stop or not to leave a voicemail the first few times? Is it just an efficiency issue?
They just don't want to have my number blocked because I'm going to call so much until they answer.
I like that. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, sure.
Yeah. We tried calling from multiple phone numbers too, but it doesn't matter. At one point we had 12 phone numbers we were dialing randomly from different dialers, and it just helped being the farmer mindset with probate. And what I mean is that's just that consistency of dialing out these people. They're not going to tell you they're ready for 3 or 4 months in Texas. It may be immediate wherever someone else is, but it's not here unless we could do an affidavit airship. And trust me, I try. But it's just about the relationship. Stay in touch.
Sure.
They're worth it.
And if you are leaving voicemails, like you said, don't overthink it. It's not like you're doing anything wrong. There isn't a right or wrong way to do it. Every market's different. Every person's different. If somebody like NC is getting 20 or 30 leads a month, well, you know, maybe she has more time to leave the voicemails, and that may work for her. But, you know, I agree with you. Don't overthink it. Don't overanalyze it.
Yeah, and we tried doing the voicemail drops. Like, that's real popular now, to drop a voicemail.
Yep.
And over a 12-month period, I didn't get one single deal from probate by dropping voicemail. One single one out of 4,000 leads. The ones that I've closed, so to fix the math from the video last week, if you watch it, we've closed close to 60 deals in probate since 18 months ago. 60. Do the math on that. And then I have 78. Yeah. No, I have 89 active probate conversations I'm having with people in my CRM. If I just get 20% of those 81, or what did I say, 89? Something like 89 or 81. I can't remember what it is. I'll look it up. But every day I'm adding one or two more. But just do the math. It's crazy. We're going to close over 100 deals out of 4,000 leads purchased. 4,100.
David, I'm curious. Oh, yeah. I'm curious. Have you, the risk of being analytical, have you ever figured your ROI? What's your return on your expenses? Do you know?
Sick. It's sick. It's ridiculous.
Sick is a good, six is a good number.
if time is an ROI, it's sick. I don't have to wake up every morning and feel like I'm going to be unemployed like Chad said about attorneys.
Sure.
You know? This is the best lead source. You guys have built the best system. And like I said on the last minute of the video, if you're in the shadows, become a subscriber. We have 16, 20 years of this stuff, and it's going to be great. I'm going to retire off the program.
Yep. We love you, David. Thank you, buddy.
Yep.
All right. Last up, we only have one more in the queue. If anybody else would like to jump in, hit *6 and hit 1. We do have time left. But last up right now is phone number ending in 1899. You're up next.
Hey, guys. Hey, Chad. This is White Simpson. How are you, sir?
Hey, White.
Excellent.
Question for you. I called this lady last week. I got an appointment tomorrow. She's got 5 properties, but what her attorney is telling her, and I don't understand it because I've checked with the attorney that closes a lot of my probate, he's telling her she cannot she can't sell anything. And what's crazy is they put in the will that if she doesn't do what she's supposed to, then the attorney that drew up, or the firm that drew up the will, then becomes the trustee. And I called my attorney and discussed that with him, and he said that's just a no-no. You don't do that in Georgia. And the house is left tenants in common, so he said she doesn't even have to go through the probate to do that. So my question is, do I go earn her trust, or because she's convinced she can't sell this thing? I'm meeting with her and her daughter tomorrow. So do I go try to earn her trust, or she's telling me she wants to sell her house, but she has 5 properties.
Are they looking to sell all 5 of them?
She's looking to sell all 5 and buy one.
Okay. I mean, the first thing I would say is, okay, well, maybe that is the case. Help me understand, like, what the attorney said, like, specifically why. What was the reason that you couldn't sell? You do have the letters of testamentary, correct?
Well, she told me that, Chad, but she also said the attorney told her she had, I got to look the information up before I go. I'm going to do it here in a few minutes. But he's telling her she can't spend the money, that she has to put it in the trust account. None of it adds up.
So you should go visit that attorney today. Like, is the office close to you?
No, it's not. And the attorney that wrote that actually wrote the will, I don't think he's in business anymore, or he's not a part of the firm.
Yeah. Well, whoever's handling, whoever the probate attorney is that told her she can't sell or she can't spend any money, you want to talk to that person. Oftentimes, you know, we hear people say, well, my attorney said X, Y, or Z, and that's not what they said at all. They were talking at a you know, 14 grade level law school lingo, and this person heard something completely different. And that's, you know, we oftentimes hear, well, my attorney said that I can't do anything until he calls and says so. And I'm sure that's not what they actually said, right? That's what they heard, but that's not really what the attorney said. So chances are there's a confusion. And I think that the quickest way to clear up that confusion is you need to hear it straight from the horse's mouth. If she can't sell and she can't invest the estate's money into the most valuable assets, why? Exactly.
And it didn't make any sense. And you're probably right that it did not. She probably heard one. He probably said something and she heard something else.
But the fact is, she sees, even though she's eager to meet with you and she's motivated to sell the properties, she's using him as a third party authority, and she's giving him that authority. So if there's not a legitimate reason that she can't do what she wants to do, if I were you, I would step into the middle, be the intermediary or the translator. And then tomorrow when you meet, you'll know. You'll say, oh, actually, I talked to John last night, and what he said is if this and this were the case, then you wouldn't be able to. But that's not the case for you anymore. You now have the letters of testamentary. Because what I'm wondering is if it's an old conversation that happened before, if there was a judicial backlog before she actually made it to the confirmation hearing and got the letters. He could have 3 months ago said, you know, listen, you can't spend any money. Like there's a process here, and she may be further into that process than she's realizing. And she's still using the old information of you can't sell anything. It's speculative at best, but talking to the attorney is the quickest way to find out what the real story is. And, you know, just say, listen, I'm meeting with Jane Doe in the morning on docket number X5457. And Attorney John Smith is representing them. She's really unclear on a few things, and I just want to make sure I'm doing the right thing for your firm and for the client. So is John available to talk for 10 minutes? And, just have that conversation. And you can be – what I think you're going to find is you can translate to her tomorrow what the facts really are, and she probably can sell it. She's probably just going off of older information.
Okay.
And if there's a legitimate reason, then you'll know that, and you'll have a lot of value to her because once you understand it, you can explain it to her in layman's terms, and then you can help her resolve that and move forward. So okay. Either way, you win.
Yeah. And Chad, I've had a lot of attorneys that are a lot of clients that get lost in the legalese when they're dealing with attorneys. One of the things that you could always throw in to when you talk to her, probably even better on the phone today, is if you've built rapport and you're meeting tomorrow, just say, hey, you know what, I want to help you understand this. I'm sure the legal process can be confusing. Would you do me a favor and sit down and send an email to the attorney and copy me just telling the attorney that I'm going to be reaching out today just to clear a couple of things up? That way I know what's going on and can better explain your options to you. And if they pass that relationship on to the attorney through a group email, the attorney's going to be much more likely to pick your phone up when you call.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Hey, White, you're the last one in the queue, and we're for a change, we're a little bit early. If you wouldn't mind sharing with the group, a few months ago, you called me to add a second county, and I think you've been with us almost 3 years now. And when you called to add the second county, I was just blown away at the results you're getting. And I don't remember what the number is, but you're in a very – obviously, you're in a small rural town. I was going to ask if you're related to Chad because you sound a little bit like him.
No, but, I'm not. I used to be in a small rural town. I'm about 30 miles north of Atlanta. I've lived here my entire life, and I just happen to talk this way. Anyway – I've had great
nothing
success.
Wrong with that, man.
No, there's not.
Go ahead, please.
I've had great success. I just try to what I figured out, and you know what I would be curious, you know, to find out how many calls David makes in a week. I just get on the phone and try to help people every day, and And, you know, some of them you can help, some of them you can't. But most of them, I find out the ones that will talk to me don't really have an idea. You know, they all think the attorney's got it handled. And if you can, you know, prove to them or show them that all you're trying to do is help them and be up front with them, that, to me, that's the golden ticket.
Yep.
I've had success, but I still haven't had as much success as I want with it, because I truly believe it's the best lead source out there, because most people, sure, especially now, a lot of them need to sell their home, these homes. And I met with a lady yesterday that, and it wasn't a probate. It was, but it wasn't. I didn't get the lead from y'all. She'd been through two agents, and she had one parcel on two, she had two houses on one parcel, and both other agents told her she could sell those separately. But because she can't, because of the size of the lot. And I had to go in and explain to them why they couldn't. I've got to follow back up with her. But what I did is I got the city clerk. I got her to call her to verify what I was telling her, because she was thinking she was getting somewhere around $400,000, and she's not. She's not going to get anything anywhere near that. I just try to help people. It's what I try to do.
Good for you. You realize how much time and aggravation you saved her, you know, and brilliant move having the clerk of the court call her. That's pretty indisputable. So yeah. Good for you, David. So, I mean, good for you, White. I was thinking you and David are so similar in completely different markets. Chad, you had a comment?
Yeah, I was just going to tell him. So David, as far as when, how much he's calling Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Well, 3 days a week, rolling sometimes, but 3 days a week from 9 to 12 is his call window. So about 9 hours of prospecting.
Okay. Does he keep up with him, Chad, how many dials he makes, or do you know?
I don't know. I don't know if he's counting his dials right now. I know last year when he had a full-blown ISA team, that was being tracked very closely. But I think now he puts in the time. Like, David is self-proclaimed semi-retired now. So he puts in the prospecting time and does as much as he can in that window and gets a pretty good result.
Yeah, I saw the video yesterday. He's done a great job.
All right. Anything else we can help you with? Go ahead.
No.
Most people are going to hold a call pace. Like, if you're leaving voicemail and you're hand dialing and you're having conversations, you're about 12 per hour. So if he's got, you know, it's, let's say, 100 a week would probably be a fair number that he's reaching or that he's dialing.
All right. Good deal. I appreciate it.
All right. Great way to end the call, guys. I want to end this call like I always do. I want to thank each and every one of you for being here, particularly thank the half a dozen or so of you that actively participated. Some great inspirational stories. I challenge each one of you, take one thing you heard today, especially from White and David and everybody who shared, go out and put it into practice and come back next Thursday and share your results with the group. Stay safe, stay healthy, stay productive. We will talk to you same time next Thursday. Take care, guys. Talk to you soon.